none other than the house of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for being our God this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. We honor you. We praise you.
Hallelujah.
Hands raised, God. With our mouths, God, filled with praise. We honor you. We bless you. Come on, I just need you to take some time. If you're truly thankful, if you can testify of his goodness, somebody should be able to see it. You should show some signs. Hallelujah. God, you've been so good to us, Lord. Even now, God, you're good to us, God. Your grace and mercy, God, your favor chases us down right now, God. Healing, Lord God, comes our way, God. Restoration, Lord God, it comes our way, God. So this morning, God, we give you our best praise, God. We testify that you are good, God. That your mercy endures forever, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. Give it to him. He's worthy of the glory and the honor, God. Lord God, we bless you in this place, God. This is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. I don't know about you, but I just want to praise him for all he's done for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's personal, y'all. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Put your hands together. If you can testify that he's been good to you, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he's made a way for you, hallelujah. Just for loving us, God, we thank you. We bless you, Lord God.
Wanna praise you.
Come on, y'all.
Forever and ever and ever for all you've done for me.
Have you done anything for me? Yeah.
Blessings and glory.
Hallelujah.
And honor.
It belongs to you.
They all belong to you. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me.
Let's just say right there, one more time, say, I just want
you. I just
want to
praise you.
Put your hands together wherever you are.
Forever.
And think about it.
And ever.
Blessings to you. Hallelujah.
And ever. For all you've done for me. Wanna praise you,
yeah. Forever,
forever.
Stop praising you, God.
And ever, and ever, for all
you've done
for me.
They say, lay your hand on your chest. Blessings
and glory
and honor.
And honor. Wanna praise you forever,
hallelujah.
forever and ever,
for
all you've done
for me. Ain't nobody tell us,
yes.
Blessings and glory
and honor.
And glory
and honor
and honor,
they all
belong to you.
Blessings
and glory
and honor
and honor,
they all
belong to you.
Blessings
and glory,
serving God
and honor,
made us to worship you.
They all belong to you.
Let's
blessings and glory.
You deserve it, Lord.
And honor.
You've been so good.
They all belong to you. Blessings and glory.
Hallelujah.
And honor.
They all
belong to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Being my strength, God.
Strength like
hallelujah.
No other source.
Hallelujah.
No other source.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. It's in the fullness of your grace, God.
Yes.
It's in the power of your love, God, that you show up and you show out every time, God. Hallelujah. You reach us, God, no matter where we are. The lows and the highs, God, is the in-between, God. You're ever present, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for being strength, God, right now, Lord. Right now, thank you for being strength, God. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for being my strength right now, God. For being my joy right now, God. For being favor, God. Hallelujah. For being wisdom, God.
You lift me.
God, we love you so much, God. You're so worthy, Lord God. Thank you for being a way maker, God. A miracle worker. A promise keeper. Light truly in the darkness, God. That is who you are. That is why we praise you. That is why we love you. That is why we say thank you. Because you show up, God. You've shown yourself to be mighty in our lives, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, you are so good to us, God.
I worship you.
Lord, have mercy.
I worship. miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Believe it.
Keep a light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Let's take it up.
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Place today, hallelujah. For Lord, you deserve all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we honor you today because not only are you a way maker, you are the way maker, amen. Lord, you've made so many ways, you've cut so many paths for us, glory to God, through Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection, his sacrificial life and Calvary, glory to God. So we honor you, Father God, that we can reverence you and praise you, that you are a way maker. We can honor you and praise you for everything that you are to us. One passage declares, Father God, that you are the great I am. Lord, we declare that you are whatever your people need whenever we need it. So, Father God, we thank you. We honor you for this time of worship. We honor you for this worship experience. We honor you for this time of praise as well. Now we honor you too for this time where we receive a word in season from you, glory to God. Father God, I thank you that as I stand to say what thus said you, or to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through me to share with your people and even some lost individuals, the things that you desire him to share through us today. We thank you that you do have mercy upon us. Holy Spirit, we thank you now that you do go before the word, that you do quicken us in our innermost beings so that we can spiritually discern and receive with meekness everything that the word is sharing with us in this place today. Holy Spirit, I thank you that as I stand to allow you to flow through me in this place today, I thank you that you do stand up with my body, that you do think with my mind, that you do speak with my mouth, that you do flow through me to say and do everything that of our Father and Jesus our Lord and King desires for you to say through us and do through us in this place today. We thank you, Father God, that no satanic hindrance shall hinder the free flow of your word in this place today. We thank you that we are blessed as we receive the word on good ground. That is, we're empowered to prosper your way. Again, as we receive the word on good ground, that good ground being our hearts. Father God, we honor you today. And we do decree and declare that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all of you that prayer said, amen. Excuse me. Amen. Was that a flat? Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise for who he is. Somebody say who he is. Amen. He's again, whatever we need, whenever we need it. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. Amen. Good morning to Friendship Christian Church Ministries. Good morning to our social media friends. Good morning to those who are joining us by teleconferencing. It's good to be here. Somebody says it's good to be here. We thank God for our music ministry. They are a committed bunch of folks. Amen. We can always count on them to be where they're supposed to be, even though one or two might be out here and there. We can still count on them to be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. Somebody say amen. We bless God for the rest of our service ministries here. Glory to God, our helps. That helps us to do the things that God desires us to do as a ministry, as the ministry of Friendship Christian Church Ministries. Amen. We hadn't been doing a lot of ministry lately. We've been doing a lot of church, a lot of teaching. And we're going to get back to doing a lot of ministry. God has a lot of things that he desires for us to do from the ministry perspective. So we need to stay tuned so that we can hear God's path for us as it relates to ministry. Somebody say amen. My time has not started yet, which means I got my full 45 minutes to share the word. Man, as soon as I say that, man, y'all ought to see them just grabbing those devices trying to get the time going because they don't want me to preach longer than I'm supposed to. And I don't want to preach longer than I'm supposed to, amen. I want to give you just what the Lord desires you to have, just what the Lord desires us to have by way of spiritual food or by way of a spiritual meal, and then we want to cut it off. Somebody say cut it off. So we don't want y'all to get too full until you regurgitate the things that we're sharing. Somebody say amen. We're in part number 8 of our teachings entitled Truth. Somebody say truth. Truth revealed by the Holy Spirit. And here's a nugget for all of us. The only thing that the Holy Spirit can reveal is truth. Because he is the Spirit of truth. Amen. Never a lie. Never an untruth. But always truth. Whatever he uncovers to us by way of the word and even by way of just fellowshipping with him, it's always truth that he is revealing. Somebody say, yes, it is. Amen, amen. And we're in week number 2 of our teachings entitled Truth Revealed by the Holy Spirit from Matthew chapter 9, verse 16 and 17. I don't have a whole lot of catchy subjects. I don't look like what I've been through. I fell down, but I got up, and I'm doing better. Somebody say amen. I don't have a lot of catchy message titles, but I do share what the Lord would give me to share. So we're in week number 2 of our teachings on truth revealed by the Holy Spirit through Matthew chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. One thing that we discovered last week is that a lot of times when the Holy Spirit is revealing truth to us from any particular passage or passages, he's giving us some deeper insights into what the teacher or what he himself desired for us to know or to receive from the Word and even from him as the revealer of truth. Amen. I like to say it this way. You know, for a long time, the Lord talked figuratively. And then he said to his disciples, we read that on last week, that he was going to move away from figurative teaching to plain teaching. Amen. I think the Holy Spirit reveals to us what's plainly there. Somebody say plainly there. Things that sometimes we can't see that only he can mind out for us. Somebody say mind out. Only he can dig out for us. Amen. So when he dig, yeah, thank the Lord. When he dig those truths out for us, we like to receive them and embrace them and live them out as God gives us the liberty to do so. Amen. So let us go to Matthew chapter 9, 16 and 17. We want to read it in your hearing again. And we'll rehearse the two things that we share in depth on last week. We won't unpack the points again, but we'll share them with you so that you can be on the same page with us. And then we'll move to the next place. Somebody say next place. Where God wants us. Well, I just feel like hollering. Yeah, you don't feel like hollering. Sometimes, Lord, make me want to holler, throw up over my hand. Somebody say amen. Make me want to holler, glory to God. Throw up over my hands. That sounds like a secular song, doesn't it? Anyway, Wu-Tang. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Verse number 16, amen. Jesus says, no one, somebody say no one. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. For the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Then Jesus says in verse number 17, he says, no, nor do they put new wine. Somebody say new wine. We said that new wine could be representative of new concepts, new ideas, new idolatry, new ideologies, new teachings, etc. Jesus says, nor do they put new wine into old wineskins. We said wines, and we understand that Jesus did a lot of figurative teaching, a lot of metaphoric teaching. So we know that in a lot of cases, he used things that represented people. Somebody said represented people. So wineskins can be representative of people or in mindsets. Amen. He said you can't put new ideas, new concepts, new ideologies, new teachings into minds that's been stressed to the limit. That's something, isn't it? It's something to think about the fact that our minds can be stretched to the limit in certain areas. Amen. Think about it. I think when our minds are stretched to the limit in certain areas, we are the culprit. Yeah. We keep our minds from receiving something new, Cassandra, because we think that what we know is it. And there's nothing else to know. So if our mind is stretched to the limit in any area, it's because we've shut down the knowledge gate, if you will. The part of our mind that can receive something new in an area of our lives. I like the way that the gospel is taught by many teachers. But occasionally there's a teacher that comes along that can put a little bit more flavor to it and causes it to want to be received in more of a deep way or a deeper way, if you will. Does that make sense to you? And if my mind is closed to just one flavor, if I'm closed to just 3 points in the hoop, if I'm closed to just the teaching, if I'm closed to just the way Paul said it or Apollo said it or some other teacher that I like said it, if I'm just closed to that flavor, I've shut my mind down to something new that can come in. Somebody say amen. If I just like to hear Pastor Huggins, that's a tragedy. Because there's a lot of pastors out here or out there that can say some things. My favorite preachers are teachers. They provoke me to thought. And I like to think. And thinking don't give me a headache. I like to think. I like to think outside of the box. A lot of people have to be provoked to think outside of the box, amen. But I like to think. And I like teachers who would give me a new spin on presenting something. Somebody say amen. I was thinking this morning, you know, we in the body of Christ have put a lot of emphasis on salvation. Somebody say salvation. And we should, because salvation, redemption is the big picture. Say big picture. But we don't put a lot of emphasis on transformation. Somebody say transformation. But Jesus came so we can change. Not only be saved into, but he came so that we can be changed. It's our mindset. Somebody say mindsets. That keeps us in good places or bad places. It's the way that we think. Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I heard a teacher put it this way, our thinking determines the quality of life that we live. So our mindsets, our natural inclination toward thinking in different areas, it's what causes us to live good or bad lives. So occasionally, no, not occasionally, all the time, we need to hear teaching that's going to transform us. And that's a mental thing. Be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. You got to hear. Somebody say hear. You got to see in order to hear and see in order to get something new to come into our mind so that we can change. Somebody say amen. I want to be inspired. Inspire me. But provoke me to change. Somebody provoke me to change. Fred, if I need to be changed, it means something is wrong with me, or I can be enhanced in an area. Somebody say amen. I can be doing good, but I can do better. If I can get some teaching to help me do better, I can move in that direction. A lot of times we don't know to do better in a lot of areas because we hadn't heard what it takes to get there. Somebody say amen. Or we haven't heard the better, if we will. Does that make sense to you? So Jesus says, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. If Michael thinks that he already know everything it is to know about the subject that I'm teaching, I can't teach him nothing. Because he's closed-minded. Say closed-minded. Closed-minded. Amen. I was going to give you my opinion about a closed-minded individual, but I think I better get back to reading up here. Somebody say amen. But really, I don't care much about closed-minded individuals, because you can't get anything new through to them. This is partially what Jesus is talking about when he talks about putting new wine in old wineskins. He's actually referencing the Jewish religious people who thought that they had a lock on God, who thought that they had a lock on all that God had to teach. Amen. Jesus came along teaching the kingdom of God, which was something different than the law. The kingdom of God encompasses, sweetheart, grace. And they were accustomed to law and accustomed to their interpretations of the law. And sometimes Jesus couldn't get a word in edgewise with them. Somebody say amen. They were just close to his teaching. That's why they fought him all the time. That's why they accused him of blasphemy. That's why they accused him of all the different things that they accused him of, because they were closed-minded as it relates to his teaching. I mean, he's God. He's God in the flesh. He's trying to get them to understand God, but because they think they got him down pat, if you will, they're not receiving. Somebody say not receiving. So Jesus says in verse number 17, my babies go to school and try to teach new concepts about algebra, and they think they know everything it is to know about algebra. They're going to shut the teacher down. They might tell the teacher what to do. Old wineskin. Somebody say old wineskin. Jesus says that you can't put new wine, glory to God, in the old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. the wine is spilled, you lose what you're putting in there, and the wine skins are ruined. Your mind has run its course, if you will, amen. But they put new wine into new wine skins, and what? Both are preserved. He wants the skins and the concepts preserved. Somebody say amen. The Christian concepts, if you will. Somebody say amen. Last week we gave you 2 points. And these are truths revealed by the Holy Spirit, which means that they're not religious-like points. They are, yeah, they are practical points that you can see in any walk of life. But you can take it out of the church and take it down there on your job. Or you can take it out of the church and take it to your home. You know, you got, and I'll give you the point in a minute. Okay, let me just give you point number one. Somebody say point number one. Point number one says, if I can find it, some teachings are too heavy. Somebody say too heavy. Or too weighty for some people or some believers, or they are over their heads, if you will, amen. I can come in here and teach some teachings that you're not ready to receive, and they'll go right over your head. I can use some words that will go right over your head because you're not ready to receive them, amen. We can try to teach our children concepts at home, principles at home, that they are not ready to receive, and those things will go what? Right over their head because they're not ready to receive. So you can take that to work. They can be teaching you a new concept on the job better that you don't understand, and it goes what? Right over your head. Teach you a new concept in school. Go right over your head because you don't understand the concept. Somebody take time and explain the concept to you, then you will be able to receive the concepts and the details of the concepts, if you will. Does that make sense to you? I've never been a great math student. Always been pretty good in English. Never been a great math student, Danielle, because I missed my basics. Not that they didn't teach them. They just taught them in a way where I just couldn't grasp them. So when it came to algebra and trig and geometry and all those things, I couldn't do those well because the foundation wasn't there. So when they taught those teachings, they went what? Straight over my head. I can multiply. I can add. I can divide. I can do all that basic stuff for some of that other higher arithmetic, if you will. I can't really do that well because basics were missed, so it shoots over my head. There are some basics about Christianity that some of us have missed. And when we teach, you go in some churches and you start teaching about the gifts of the Spirit and they hadn't heard anything about the gifts of the Spirit. Go right over the head. I remember one time I was teaching somewhere about Jesus paralleling the body of Christ to a physical body, or the scriptures paralleling the body of Christ to a physical body, the hands, the feet. And I heard this while I was preaching. The lady said, I ain't never heard that before. It is right there in the scriptures. So that went over her head because of the fact, the foundation for the body, if you will, not being all one part, had not been shared. Somebody said, had not been shared. So there are some teachings that we can teach, and because we're not ready to receive them, number one, they can go right over our head. Somebody said, amen. Number two, so they teach us, and I'm saying what the Holy Spirit said, they teach us in public speaking to know your audience. Know your audience. Because if you don't know your audience, you can get over their heads. You know, it was just a waste of time. Somebody say a waste of time. Number two. Oftentimes. Somebody say oftentimes. That's wrong. Number two, it's a waste of time. Number two says it's a waste of time to teach some teachings to some individuals. Why? Because they're not ready to receive it. Jesus said, don't give that which is holy unto the dogs. Why? Because the dogs is going to tear it up because they're not ready to receive holy. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't give your wisdom to someone who's just going to trample over your wisdom and then trample over you too. They're not ready to receive it. Amen. You got to know who you're talking to. And a lot of times you can tell whether or not a person is ready to receive. My wife said, I can't always do this, but we can sometimes. We can tell if a person is ready to receive or not by their facial expressions, by their body languages. And even sometimes how they respond to what you're saying. Somebody say amen. So it's a waste of time. Somebody say a waste of time to teach some teachings because some individuals might not be ready to receive. Somebody say amen. We'll pick up on number three, part two this morning. And I'll give you as much as I can for the next 27 minutes. Amen. Number three, oftentimes. Somebody say oftentimes. Persons need to change. Oftentimes the way they are thinking before they can receive or accept certain teachings. Make it simple. Sometimes there needs to be change before some individuals can accept certain teachings. Change mentally. Change spiritually before they can receive certain teachings. If I'm drunk all the time, I don't want to hear no teaching about being sober because I like being drunk. I got to change the think about being drunk. I got to change the way that I think about the fact that drinking all the time might hurt me. And then if I can get my mind wrapped around the fact that drinking all the time might do me some damage, then I might be ready to receive some teaching to help me not to damage myself by continual abuse of alcohol, if you will. Does that make sense to you? So sometimes we, I think it needs to be changed in order for us to receive. Let's get a biblical example of that. Go to John chapter 3. Y'all all right? John chapter 3. Don't tell me I'm not about saving money if all I believe I'm supposed to do is just spend it on. I don't want to hear that. You can tell me how to satisfy me right now with some more. Somebody say, man, I don't want to hear that. So oftentimes we need to be changed, or our thinking needs to be changed. Yes, sir, I'll do it that way. Before we can receive teaching. Jesus had a conversation with a guy named Nicodemus. Y'all remember that? The scripture says that he was the ruler of the Jews, or a ruler of the Jews. He was a leader among the Jewish nation. He was Pharisaic in nature, which means, or Pharisaic in position, if you will, which means, one, he was a religious leader, and two, he was a political leader. And he heard Jesus teaching, and he wanted to know some things from Jesus. And Jesus had to break it down to him. Look, some of this stuff that I'm teaching, brother, you can't understand it unless you be born again. You got to be changed from the inside. Because I'm teaching something different than you are accustomed to hearing. Does that make sense to you? Let's read it. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, great teacher. Rabbi means great teacher. We know that you are a teacher come from God. We know where you came from. For no one can do these things. He paralleled Jesus' teachings with the miracles that Jesus was working, if you will. Does that make sense to you? He says, no man can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I hear you, Nick. I hear what you're saying. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see meaning to see, but in the perfect tense, it means to know. You cannot know or understand the things that I'm teaching from God's system, if you will, unless you are born again. Your spirit must be awakened by the Holy Spirit so that you can understand spiritual things. Right now, you are just natural. And the only thing you're going to be able to receive are natural things, if you will, physical things, things that every natural individual might understand. But if you're going to understand what I'm teaching Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Does that make sense to you? So some change has to happen. This is what Jesus says in the next verse, verse number 4, he says, Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born again? Can we go into our mother's womb and be born a second time? Verse number 5. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is what? Born of water, that's the natural birth, and what? The spiritual birth, or and of the spirit, he cannot what? Enter the kingdom of God. So you got to be changed. Somebody say changed. Some of us in the church don't understand some spiritual things, and it might be because some of us haven't been born again. It's possible to be in church and not be born again. It's possible to be in the facility and not be born again. Somebody say amen. You got to receive the Christ. Next verse. Hurry up, Lorenzo Huggins. Hurry up. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh, he says, is flesh or the physical birth. That which is born of the spirit is what? Spirit. Two different births. Spiritual birth, natural birth. He said, don't be amazed, verse number 7. Marvel not, but I say unto you that you must be what? Born again. So there's some teachings that we won't receive until we're changed. Can you get that? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. You got to be changed. And I like to put it this way. Your thinking has to change. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I understood as a child. When I became a man, see, the thinking must mature. You ain't going to put away childish things until you start thinking differently. Come on now. You still thinking like a child, you can be 40 years old or 50. Still thinking like a child, you're going to still be acting like a child. Have you ever seen old men, they're 80 years old, but they still think they're 30. They dress like they're 30. They act like they're 30. Yeah, they might, red suits, they wear red shoes. They think like they're 80s, glory God. So they dress like that. The thinking needs to change. They need to come on up. You need to realize first that you're 80. You ain't got to act all old. But you need to come out of the 80s and come on up where we are now, amen. If some things are going to change in your behavior. Somebody say amen. I used to act like I was 60. Now I'm 60. I try to act like I'm 49. Amen. Verse number 14, it says, but the natural man, say natural man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolish. Man not born again, woman not born again, hear spiritual things. I'm trying to teach them things concerning the spirit realm or the ethereal realm. They ain't going to receive it because it sounds foolishness. If you read chapter 1, the gospel sounds foolish to those who were perishing. It was only power to those who were what? Being saved. It had impact on those who were what? Being saved. They were to what? Receive the gospel. Somebody say amen. So, you're thinking naturally. I can't teach you deep spiritual things. And you might stay around for a little while and grasp something, but to get deeper, I'll tell you something like giving gets. You sow seed, you're going to reap a harvest. No, if I sow seed, I've lost my money. I don't have my money anymore if I'm thinking naturally. I ain't getting nothing back. I gave it away, man. But if we got your spiritual antenna up, I can teach you that giving gets you from the scripture, and you'll receive that, amen. I can teach you, if you got your spiritual antenna up, that forgiving will release you from certain feelings, and then you can move on. But if you're in the natural, no, ain't that going to make me feel better but to get that person back. Somebody say amen. Have to be changed. New way of thinking. Somebody said new attitude. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. They are discerned or understood by the Spirit man. Amen. So, number 3. I hope this is helping you. Oftentimes, persons need to change before they can receive or accept certain teachings. Number 4, this is a good one. No, number 5 is going to be better. differences, listen, differences in opinions, beliefs, and interests, I-N-T-E-R-E-S-T, can lead to division, even separation among people or people groups. Let me say that one more time. Differences in opinions, belief, and interests can lead to division, even separation among people or in people groups. All you got to do is look extemporaneously, if you will, or look outside of your surroundings. Look at politics. One group believe this. One group believe that. And it separates the country. What's that word that they're using now that talks about the separation of the country? It's a P word. No. I can't think of it. I thought of it this morning. I can't think of it. But, Not partisan. Not partisan. I'll think of it. If I think of it, I'll let you know. It creates separation. Look in your church. Pentecostals believe this. Baptists believe this. Methodists believe this. The Word of Faith believe this. Separates us. Sometimes we don't even want to mingle because of our differences in belief. I remember telling God this. I said, God, I need some extra money. And I don't want to go preaching in all these different churches because I don't want to deal with all these different beliefs. So I started driving a school bus. Because I didn't want to deal with all the different beliefs. You got to have your God up. You got to remember that this one don't believe that. This one don't believe that. Or that one don't believe this. You just can't teach the whole Bible because you might offend somebody. And then you can't come back to preach no more. And then some preachers will put you on the blackball list and they'll talk about you to others. And you'll just be stuck in one place, amen. Because of different beliefs. Different beliefs, opinions, separate. Somebody says separate. Somebody says separate. I heard this a few minutes ago, and I'll go ahead and share. You know, we talk about worldliness in the church. The church is worldly. The most worldliness I've seen in the church recently is politics. Politics. Keep us divided. We talk about the white church and the black church. We have one universal church. It shouldn't be that. The white church believe this. The black church believe this. The white church evangelical. The black church inspirational, et cetera, et cetera. When we should believe the same Bible and be theological and be able to get along. Somebody said division. Number five. How are we going to get along, Pastor? We're going to have to believe the Bible in the church. Or we're going to have to find some common ground that we can agree on and work there. Does that make sense to you? Number five. I don't know why God got me talking about all this stuff, but he has. Number five. Somebody said new teachings. But he does. New teachings, even new ways of teaching, are not readily received from individuals who are indoctrinated with old ones. New teachings. I'm going to say new teachings. Even new ways of teaching are not readily received from individuals who are what? Indoctrinated with old one. What does the term indoctrinate mean? It means to instruct in doctrine. That is teaching, principles, ideologies, if you will. A doctrine is a particular principle, position, or policy taught or advocated as of a religious or governmental principle, if you will. A lot of times, you can hear pastors talking or church folks talking. Well, our doctrines are just different. We don't believe the same things. We can't fellowship because we don't believe the same things. But we ought to be able to fellowship simply because we're all in Christ Jesus. Fellowship, I mean, our doctrines might be a little different. I might believe in the doctrine of baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the doctrine of the of spiritual giftings, or the doctrine of apostasy, or other doctrines that I've probably mentioned throughout my tenure as pastor here. And somebody else might not believe it, but we believe in the doctrine of the gospel. Jesus Christ died for us all. He was resurrected so that we could have new life. We ought to be able to grab a hold of that in order to be able to get along, if you will. Somebody say amen. Now, there are some things that we're so indoctrinated with until it's going to take a refreshing from the presence of the Lord to change some of us. Refreshing is the same as revival. Somebody say revival. There's some stuff so deeply rooted in church folks and in non-church folks until only God, by a supernatural act called revival, is going to be able to change thinking or ideologies in those areas. Does that make sense? Let me give you a principle of what, let me give you a picture of what I'm talking about. Go to Acts chapter 10. Is this making sense to you? Acts chapter 10. Now this is, you know, I used to teach. Man, I'm evolving in my thinking, evolving in my teaching. I used to teach that belief could only come by hearing or seeing. Basically, I thought believing came by hearing. I think some believing can come by seeing. Some deep belief. Somebody said some deep belief. I'll tell you why in a few minutes. Peter, somebody say Peter, is one of the principals or one of the people in this particular 10th chapter. And one of his biggest issues is one of his biggest issues is because he is a Hebrew or a Jew, he don't believe that the same things that God has for the Hebrews that God also has for the Gentiles. He didn't believe that the gospel should have gone to the Gentiles. So in order for him to be in a place where he would carry the gospel to the Gentiles, Gentile or non-Jewish, God had to change the way that he thought. And he did not change the way, Daniel, that he thought by another teaching message. He gave him a visual directly from him, because he had to impact his thinking in a way where he would carry the gospel to a non-Jew, if you will. Somebody say amen. In order for us to really love the way God wants us to love, I mean, it's going to have to be a supernatural deal from God to some of us, amen. Some of us are trying. Some of us are trusting the Holy Spirit to make us love our neighbors as ourselves, or help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. But some of us ain't even trying. If you don't look like me, if you don't act like me, I don't have to love you, amen. And we're sitting up in the Christian church, amen. So God is going to have to do something supernaturally in some of us in order for us to change our way of thinking about just loving folks that look like us. That's just my neighbor. No, that's not just your neighbor. Amen. So in order to impact Peter, something supernaturally from the presence of God had to happen. Verse number one. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
Man. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. He was a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. He was of the Italian army group, if you will. He was a devout man and one who feared God. He reverenced God with all his household. He not only reverenced God, but he practiced some of the principles of God. He gave alms, charitable gifts. Alms are generously to the people. And he prayed to God always. So he reverenced God. He respected God. He was devoted to God. But he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. And he couldn't get saved unless somebody preached the gospel to him. And the person who was carrying the gospel at that particular point was Peter. And Peter didn't believe that he deserved to receive the gospel, so he wouldn't share it with him. Amen. So God had to shake him up in order for him to believe, one, that a Gentile could receive the gospel, and two, so that he can carry the gospel too. Yeah, I mean, you can be devoted to God in some areas and still don't be saved. We got a lot of religions. Somebody say religions. Talking about the Creator. Talking about God, but they don't know Jesus. If they don't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, this is truth. They're not saved. So for credit, they can talk about the Creator all they want to talk about the Creator, but if they deny the Son, there's no salvation. There's no reconciliation. There's no reconnection to God. Amen. So you can talk about it. And you can pray from the north, south, east, and the west, but if you don't know Jesus, and I ain't picking on nobody, but this is just the truth. If you don't know Jesus, you're lost. According to the scriptures. You got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead in order for him to be saved. But if you believe that he's just another man, you can't have salvation. Amen. You got to believe who God says he is. He's the Son of God. Amen. He was begotten of God. Amen. He was the only begotten Son of God. Amen. The rest of us are connected to God by way of adoption, but he can't follow God. Somebody say amen. If you can't believe that, you can't be saved. So you're just religious. So this dude had a devotion. This dude was practicing some principles. This dude had a reverence for God. But he didn't have Jesus. And the person who needed to give Jesus to him was prejudice. You thought prejudice started just a few years ago. Prejudice is seen in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, Peter was so prejudiced until after he was changed by God. He went back to his prejudiced ways. Amen. He walked like God wanted him to walk for a while, and then he slipped backwards, if you will. Amen. And Paul had to confront him over in the book of Galatians, get up in his grill to tell him, man, you're wrong. You're supposed to be walking like Christ. Why are you exercising prejudice against people again that's not like you? Amen. So even if God changes sometimes, Freddie, we can go backwards. They used to call it backsliding. Amen. And sometimes we have to have a second touch. Somebody say second touch. This ain't helping y'all today. Amen. I've been thinking, is Jeremy going to tell me? I think that's a good word today, Pastor. We'll see. Amen. Go down to verse number 9. Acts 10:9. The next day. Somebody say the next day. As they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. Then he became very hungry. Peter became hungry because the Lord made him hungry. And he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And saw heaven open. Say heaven open. Somebody said directly from heaven. He saw heaven open, and an object like a great sheet bowed at the four corners descended to him and let down to the earth. From heaven to earth. Somebody say amen. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth. Wild beasts. This is going over somebody's head right here. Creeping things and birds of the air. And a voice came to him. Rise, Peter. And this is God telling Peter, rise, Peter. Kill and eat. Kill some of this stuff and eat it. Peter said to the Lord. But Peter said, not so, Lord. Peter knew it was the Lord. He says, for I have never eaten anything common or profane or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common or profane or unclean. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. So God visited Peter, refreshed him from heaven, changed the way that he thought. When the centurions got there, or the centurion servants got there to get Peter to carry him to preach the gospel, God had changed the way that he thought. And he went down there, preached the gospel, and the folks got saved. But a real deal, it took a supernatural event from God in order for him to be changed so that he could take the message to the Gentiles. So some of this stuff is so indoctrinated in folks. I keep thinking something, I don't know whether it's right or wrong. I know it's scriptural, but I don't know whether or not it can be applied. Some things are so indoctrinated into us, it's going to take an act of God to shake it out of us. I believe this next revival that we're going to experience in the United States of America is going to be a revival of love. That's the only way we're going to get to the point where we respect one another. We love like God loves. God so loved who? The world. Who is that? Everybody. Yeah, okay, anybody, from the utmost to the guttermost. Somebody say amen. And if we're going to get that way so that we can fellowship with one another and go anywhere and fellowship and go anywhere and share the gospel, God's going to have to do an impacting thing in our hearts. Make us really love. You know, we teach love. We tell you all the time that love does no ill to his brother. And some of us still walk out here and do ill to our brother and our sister. We've been teaching it. We show it to you in the scripture. We teach you that love covers a multitude of faults. And we go out and be fault finders. We teach it. We teach it. We teach you to overcome evil with good, but you still go out there sometimes. We still go out there sometimes to overcome evil with evil. We teach it. You're hearing it. I say you're hearing it. And as you hear it, your faith ought to be believed or built in that area. Somebody say amen. But it ain't always working, amen. So God's going to have to do it, amen. The vessels that he's left to share the word, it ain't impacting us like it ought to impact us all the time, amen. So God is going to have to do it, amen. I bet if he put a shock on you, you can receive that. Somebody say amen. He's going to have to do it. So number five, and I'll close right here because the clock is ticking. New teachings, even new ways of teaching, are not readily received from individuals who are indoctrinated with old ones. And some indoctrinations, like I told you, it's going to take God to drive out in order for us to change. Let me say two more things to you real quickly. We're supposed to be salt to the world. We're supposed to add a God flavor, a flavor to the world. We ain't impacting the world like we should be. As a matter of fact, in a lot of instances, the world don't have respect for the church like they should, because the church is not impacting the world like it should. It's going to take some type of supernatural shaking from God. And even with all that we've gone through by way of pandemic, it should have changed some minds about something. But it still hasn't. Folks ain't running to the church. Folks ain't running to God. They still trying to come up with other ways. Folks ain't running to God. So it's going to take a shaking. Somebody say a shaking. Something supernatural to really drive some stuff out of us. One man said he was the only man who could fix it. And he probably still thinks some of that way. It's going to take God to change some of these indoctrinations, if you will. So that's going to be all I got to share with you today. And we'll pick up on part three next week. Got a few more things I need to share with you. What is it, Lord, that you want me to share? God said the church has become bland. Bland. What does that mean? Need a little salt? What's wrong with your food, Freddie, when it's bland? Need a little seasoning. The church needs a little seasoning before they can be seasoning. And God is saying He's gonna do that. Now, I can't tell you when He's going to do it. If I was one of those prophets that could pinpoint, He's going to do it next week at 6:45 on a Tuesday, this church would be packed. Even during the pandemic. Because they will recognize my prophetic gift as accurate. I don't know when He's going to do it. But I know He's going to do it. Because He said He would. If you're one of those people that's so indoctrinated with something that can't nobody get to you, to help you change your mind about that thing that could be leading you in the wrong direction, you need to start praying now that the Lord would change your heart. I've had to pray about a lot of change in my life. I remember when I didn't believe in female pastors and female other service groups in the church. The Lord had to work on me. And I was indoctrinated with those type of teachings. Women couldn't preach. I remember when I used to believe all of that. And then God had to bring up some female preachers right in my midst for me to believe. I believed that a woman couldn't pastor me. And I wouldn't let one pastor me. I was indoctrinated with that. I didn't just pull that out of the air. It was taught to me on a regular basis. And some of the derogatory stuff that some of the teachers used to say about some of the women as it relates to why they couldn't preach and teach, I can't even say it in here. But you see anyway. Amen. But I was indoctrinated with that. I went to seminary. I was indoctrinated with some things as it relates to the church. When I first came to Friendship, I allowed dancers in the church. And I didn't hear it myself, but I heard that one of the teachers in one of the seminaries said that I knew better because my granddaddy was a pioneer. And they know he taught me better than that. Well, I saw dancers in the Bible. They weren't bagging it up and dropping it like it was hot. They were doing holy dancing. Some stuff can be so... We were in a church one time, and she's gone. Now, we were in a church one time, and one of our praise dancers was dancing, and the pastor was in a room somewhere looking on one of those camera-type deals, and he sent somebody out there to tell her to sit down and don't get back up. Indoctrinated. And if she was still here, she could say amen, because she was the dancer. Indoctrinated. I want to leave you with this. There's no gender in Christian service. God can use whoever He wants to do, whoever He wants to use to do whatever He wants to do. Somebody say amen. And I used to say something derogatory like if God can use a donkey, He can surely use a woman. But I won't even say that anymore. I'm going to say since God used a donkey, He can use any jackass or anybody that He wants to use. Somebody say amen. Some of us are jackasses before the Lord get a hold of us. And we act like we ain't never heard some of these things before. And some of us are still jackasses in the beginning. Amen. So God says the church has become bland. And we need to be salted. And only God can salt us again. Somebody say amen. So that we can be salt. The earth. Let us pray. Lord, we honor you. What is it? We bless you. We thank you. We give you praise for all things. Thank you for your word. Liberating word, truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps someone is listening today, they need Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life wherever you are. All you have to do is simply invite him into your heart. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Lord Jesus, be my Lord, and you can give him thanks for coming in. Thanks for saving you. Thanks for being your Savior. Thanks for being your Lord. Or you can simply ask him to come into your life and change you. If you believe by faith that he can and will, he will come in and begin a change in your life that only he can make. If you're looking, watching us by way of social media, I'm sure that there are some things in the comment section that will help you in leading you to Christ. Somebody say amen. If you're watching today, you want to give to this ministry, there are at least five platforms you can use to give. You can give by way of Givelify. You can go to Givelify or download Givelify from the App Store. Go to the prompting that says Friendship CCM with our logo and perhaps my picture. Click on it and follow the prompting that you can give. You can give by way of Cash App. Our Cash App address is $Friendship, capital L, Friendship CCM. Somebody say amen. You can go to our website, www.friendship.org. You can click on the giving prompting and follow it. You can give by way of PayPal. You can give by way of online banking, if you will. That's called Bank Bill Pay. Or you can always mail us a check, money order, or cashier's check to 1238 Central Point Parkway, Birmingham, Alabama, 35215. Again, that's 1238 Central Point Parkway, Birmingham, Alabama, 35215. Amen. Tomorrow, first Monday, isn't it? Join us at 9 o'clock a.m. for our first Monday message from the pastor's desk. I don't know what the Lord will have us to talk about tomorrow, but we will share something. Somebody say amen. Don't forget to join us on Wednesday night at 6:45 for our Bible study, weekly Bible study. We were off last week, but we'll be back on this week. So join us at 6:45 p.m. And lastly, Children's Church starts in about 9 minutes. Amen. You can join Children's Church ministry by way of Zoom, 11:30 a.m. is the start time. The meeting ID is 832-3475-6582. Again, 832-3475-6582. And the password is 680-632. Again, 680-632. Amen. Well, that's all we have for today. I hope that you were blessed. April has a hand up. Amen. Pat Doss is asking us to continually pray for her husband, Michael Doss, which is a member of this ministry, a friend to a lot of us, and even a family member to a lot of us. He's doing well. She says the prayers of the righteous availeth much, and she would like the church to continue to pray for him, pray that God will heal his body, make him whole in his body. Make sure you say in his body. Where he needs to be made whole or where he's broken in his body. Ask God to heal his mind. A lot of times we can heal better if our mind is in the place of healing. Somebody say amen. Ask God to heal his mind, make his mind whole in places where it needs to be made whole. And lastly, he doesn't have a good appetite. So we ask you to pray that God would give him an appetite so that he can eat and get his strength back. I saw him one day. He told me, Pastor, I'm just trying to get my strength. You can get it from God, or you can get it through eating, or you can get it both ways. Amen. So we just believe that if we pray, that God will hear us and make the necessary changes in Michael's life. I think he's in therapy now. He's moved from ICU to a room, from that room, he's moved to another floor where rehabilitation floor where he's getting therapy, which means his next step will be out of the door. Somebody say amen. So let's pray that God will strengthen him so that he can do what needs to be done to make his grand exit, if you will. So So somebody say amen. Well, that's all that I have. Any more prayer requests before we close? Let us pray for the world. Somebody say for the world. Let's pray for the land. Let's pray, God, we heal this land. We have a lot of stuff still going on that only God can fix. So we trust Him to do what He does. Somebody say amen. Until next week, may God bless you. May He keep you. May He sanctify you. May He prosper you in everything that you do that's righteous. In Jesus' name, amen.